so I can fucking hang out with you guys.
Yes!
Yeah! Attaboy.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, everyone.
The
Millennial Dentist Podcast.
Oh. I'm not a millennial dentist.
I know you're not a millennial dentist, but you,
I'm an old,
in fact,
retired dentist.
You have a lot, but I do think you have a lot to offer millennials. I will argue, though, that maybe we have some things to offer you as well, though. I haven't figured it out yet, but we'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something.
So let's talk about what all went down today. By the way, we have Dr. JP.
JP in the hizzy.
You've been on the podcast before. You've been on the show. Dr. Benjamin Nemec, you have not been on the show before.
I have not.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This is like an inaugural thing. And
popping his cherry.
Dr. Depeche, I don't know what your last name is.
Sidereb.
What he said.
Yeah.
Sidereb.
Perfect.
Sit around.
Dr. Depeche. Sit around.
Right.
And record some stuff. Right. So welcome to the podcast. this is fun. So this has been a great weekend. We're live in T-Bone's basement doing a mastermind session. JP, what did you think about today? We had Benji, to sum up what we did today, you gave a little bit of a great practice manager spiel on kind of some paradigm shifts in the practice. Kind of summarize that a little bit for us.
Well, we talked mostly on changing the mindset of both the practice owner as the leader, as well as him or her learning how to change the mindset of the staff and think of both.
Hey, let me interject here.
No,
I've been really annoyed all day. This whole staff thing.
Oh,
it kills
sorry.
Me. Staff is a fucking infection.
Thank you.
Oh, look at him doing
thank
it.
You.
Okay, Devo.
Thank you.
Changing the mindset
you
of
have
the
gotten bad about
co-ownership.
It's team, brother. It's
a team.
It's a team. Thank you.
It's your team.
Changing the mindset of
the
your team.
Changing the mindset of your team into both how they relate to each other as co-owners in the practice as well as how they relate to the patient base. And so we talked a lot about systems and interactions, verbiage, with how we introduce patients into our practice, how we discuss their value system or determine their value system by asking good open-ended questions and determining what is important to them and tailoring what we discuss with them about treatment opportunities and the benefits of treatment based upon the patient's desires.
So two things that I picked up, I've heard this a couple times now, I guess, but two things that I kind of took away that I was like, man, those are two great points, especially for people who maybe don't want to apply everything but can apply right away, is the first one was using the word yet. I thought that was very powerful, and what I mean by that is when you're, you know, asking patients, like, has that tooth bothered you yet? Or, you know, are those cracks, are they causing any pain yet? Or
right.
You know, stuff like that. I thought that was very leading. And then the other one I thought, which was good, was not being afraid to discuss fees.
Correct.
Because I think some people are afraid to do that. And then it's like, why are you afraid to be confident in your fees? And, you know, because that's a big thing to me is at the end of the day, I feel like my confidence in closing a treatment plan is better than anybody's. So if I'm afraid to close, talk about fees, then I could do a great job treatment planning. They get up to the front, they go to the fees, and it's like, yeah, I'll think about it, call you back. Well, it's like game over.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty powerful.
Well, the important part of that, one of the important parts of that is if the doctor is not comfortable with talking about fees, are they clinically comfortable in executing the treatment?
That's a great, great point.
Right? So it also portrays confidence in them. Now, not only is discussing the fee important, but also the manner in which you discuss the fees, right? Because right? If you're getting clammy talking about a $20,000 plan, right, even though you want to do it, but you're just
– yeah.
You're stuttering it out, it's – you shouldn't be doing that.
Maybe it's a little above
right.
your
– It's right. above the pay grade.
It's part, of the whole image you're portraying
it's
the patient.
It's the image you're right. portraying, right.
Confidence. You got to have the confidence.
Which is hard to do when you graduate. Because, I mean, you're used to, especially new grad, I mean, you're used to selling a $400 crown at dental school. Yeah. Like, you know, and so when you're trying to sell a $10,000 treatment plan, it's like there's a learning curve there that people don't necessarily right. get all the way.
So one of the first things when you graduate is development of vision.
Yeah.
And you would probably agree
right.
on it. You got to have a strong mindset, a strong vision for a lot of the other things to to come together.
So I'll ask you, Dipesh. I mean, obviously, in the brief time we've talked about, we've kind of chatted and whatnot. Obviously, I've seen education's been something that you talked about huge, right? And educating yourself.
Right.
How do you find? What did you do from an education standpoint to help you build into that, to be able to like treatment plan something like that and not get clammy? I mean, how did that kind of evolve for you to where you're now doing? I mean, you're flying people in from other countries to do dentistry, so that's not something that happens overnight.
No. And it's still a work in progress for me too, on it. So the main thing is you always got to have confidence in your own abilities and be able to talk to people in patients at one, at a high level, and two, with a level of clarity in which they would accept treatment, right? And the education not only creates the excitement in yourself, but also your team members.
Sure.
On it, right? So as the team members are seeing you going out every weekend learning whatever, over a period of time, they start buying into your mantra on it, right? Because when you're first engaging into a relationship with anybody, they don't know who you are, you don't know who they are or anything, right?
Yeah.
But as they see your work ethic, your passion, your drive, they're buying into your story. If the team members don't buy into your story, one, they're automatically going to fall off the train. In my career, I've never really had to fire anybody on it. They automatically start shedding.
They self-select out.
Yeah.
They self-select out.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's where I talked about a lot about, you know, from the practice side of things, you know, it's easy for me to quote fees because my staff is trained to sell the dentistry.
Staff.
Your team.
My team is trained. Jeez. My team is trained to sell the dentistry. So for me, they set the table. So the team understands that what's important to the patient. So we're not talking, it only becomes uncomfortable for me to talk expensive dentistry if the patient
hasn't been briefed.
They haven't told us what's important to them. They haven't told us that something is a concern for them for us to be talking full mouth rehab or a full set of veneers or, you know, a lot of restorative dentistry. There has to have already been established a desire to do that for whatever reason it may be for them.
Now think about that statement, what he said, right? In order to achieve what he's wanted to achieve, he's had to do all the little things to get there, right? Yep. So at the end of the day, that it starts with that first phone call at his office.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did the front desk person handle that first phone call? How does his website present? How does his marketing present? What is the feeling that somebody gets when they walk into his door? Right? So you're not creating an environment in which, and he hasn't created an environment in which you walk into the door, everything's kind of willy-nilly, and now he's trying to sell you a $50,000 case, right? Yep. The way his team presents, acts, speaks, the way his website, Google searches, everything presents is in a very consistent manner.
It's all done with intent.
Yeah.
It's all done with intent.
Yep.
With
intent. It's all based upon my vision. And we talked about that at the beginning.
The first thing is development of a vision, and then you build essentially a whole organization around it.
Now, Sully, I think you or somebody else asked about like getting the team's buy-in or input into the vision.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I've tried with the team. And when I look back at it, I realized that's like the worst thing we could ask for them to do because they don't know.
No.
They have no clue. Their vision of the practice is probably, I can show up, I can do some work, they're not going to yell at me, we help some people, they're kind of nice, and I go home and get paid.
Yeah.
Right? It's really almost impossible for them to, on their own, visualize what this vision of the practice is. So as the leader of the practice, we have to come up with that vision.
Yeah.
And we have to present it to them in a way where they see the benefit of being a part of that. And if they choose not to, then they can, you know.
Anytime I interview a team member, potential team member, I read my vision. Okay? And so I read, that's the first part of the interview process, as I'm reading my vision to them for the practice. and I have either an associate of mine or my front desk person in there with me watching the person react and how they're reacting as I read my vision. And then I ask the person that I'm interviewing, you know, how do you feel about that? Because I want their reaction to that sounds wonderful, or there's not much of a reaction. Right. I know they're not the right person.
Yeah.
So part of actually my interview process is reading my vision. My team was involved in developing our why. So we sat down with them. Okay. They each read the book, The Power of Why. And we sat down as a team and said, what is our why? And everybody gave their input as to what their why is. And then we took everybody's why
and built a bit.
And built a little bit of a mission statement type of why for the office. So that way it's my vision because it's my practice. You know, I'm the majority owner in that regard. So it's my vision, but everybody is part of what our why is as a team.
Now, you see how the purpose of his why was to make a powerful impact, not only in their professional lives of the team members, but also an impact in their personal lives.
Sure.
Right? Because at the end of the day, your team members, it's a day-to-day paycheck, right? Try living on $20 an hour. You can't.
Yeah.
In this day and age, right? Because there's so many wants and things like that. So at the end of the day, it's our responsibility, and I've taken it upon myself. I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that I empower my team members, not only in their professional lives, but also in their private lives.
Absolutely.
Right? In their personal lives. And if I can't make a positive impact in their personal lives, then one, I haven't done my job, and two, they're probably not the right fit for the organization either.
Yeah, for the culture.
For sure. The culture of the practice, because they don't bring anything to the table.
Yep. Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Dipesh, before we get too far off of it, you mentioned the need to have clinical confidence in what we're doing. I'm really curious where you went to get some of the training and some of the clinical work that you're doing, because you're doing some really high level,
right,
big time stuff. So I'm always interested to hear how we get trained in that.
So I've been all over the country. So you know, I've done the Clayton Chan curriculums. I've done the Rocabado stuff. I've done the Javier Vasquez stuff. And the list kind of goes on and on, on it. I've been through multiple camps and went through everybody's philosophies. I've done everything Spear. So when I came out of the gate in 06, I was still trying to find myself as a clinician. I really didn't have a vision of what I wanted to do, anything. So I drank all of the Manji Kool-Aid. I went through BIP.
So let me stop you right there, Dipesh, because I want to hit on something pretty hard right here. So you graduate in 06. You come out, and you've got student loans, correct?
Yeah.
How much do you have in student loans at that point?
$500,000.
$500,000 in student loans. So you're telling me that at that point you were willing to go invest more in education.
I did.
Right out of the gate.
I did in my first 30 days.
Wow. So talk about that. I mean, what made you a decision? Because that obviously means you got to get lean. I mean, you got to be smart about it. I mean, because I'm assuming a lot of your colleagues in a similar position weren't going and taking education, right?
No. So at that point, MTAZ had just opened this Scottsdale Center, and literally I was the first
person walking the door,
walking through there with him. It was him and me and a couple of other guys on there. And luckily enough for me, at that point, you know, MTAZ and I had a sit down, and he was like, listen, you're Indian, I know what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like build multiple practices and that, but really there's no money in that.
Sure.
Focus on yourself, become a great clinician, you'll make a hell of a lot more money, and you'll impact many more lives than you will ever do doing
multiple stuff,
multiple,
which is funny because that does seem to be like the buzz thing that everybody wants to do graduating, right? Is like multiple practices.
Yeah.
You know, become the best at what you're doing the best. So when I tell people at the end of the day, I'm the best at being a clinician on it. I'll outwardly say that I'm not the best at public speaking and being a speaker.
Sure.
Things like that. It's not my thing on it. It's just, you know, it's not.
Well, and part of it would be probably, like you say, you've spent time and money on education in other areas and trying to do that.
Right. And as you get to know me, like, I don't get involved in politics. And you know, when you start getting into public speaking and all that, it's all politics.
Yeah, you're probably right. What did you, you know, having a successful practice, you know, being successful at this point, what was your, had you heard Benji talk about something like this? Or was that the idea of was some of his stuff, did you take away anything today? Or was it kind of like you've heard that before? Or give me your kind of response.
This was all flashbacks. I told him earlier. It was flashbacks of like Mercer Consulting, BIP, all that kind of stuff.
Just kind of a combination of good quality consulting.
Combination of stuff, right. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's just lubing it, making it better, spreading
it. Repackaging it, yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Keeping up with the times.
So what do you know, JP?
What are you doing? What was your takeaway? Give me your takeaway. Your big
one. I was good. I mean, here's my thing. I'll be honest. You know, I'm – people who know me, I tend to have a tendency to kind of jump into the deep end of the pool a little bit. I'd rather make a move and figure it out as I go. And so the big takeaway for me is, like, I'm all about what Benji's saying and some of this, you know, idea of creating a better vision for the practice, empowering my team, you know, elevating things to a new level. But what I realize is that, like, I need the help with that. And so, like, I want to bring him in, have him come in for, you know, a day or two to my practice with my team and really basically let them hear what I'm hearing, what I'm getting on board with, because I think that's the big thing. Because I feel like what we do a crappy job of in overall is that when we go and take education to learn stuff, we don't include the team in that, yeah. And that hurts us.
Amen.
Right.
And so if I can loop him in and bring him back to home, it's going to cost me a good bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's worth every penny.
It's
because
well worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's an investment in your team at this point because you've bought into it. But now you're going to invest in your team getting that same message and really align everybody down the same path.
And it fired me up a little bit because, I mean, we run a really successful lean practice as it is. But then you kind of sit there and hear you talk, and it's like, golly, man, we have option. We have a lot of growth we can pull out of here still. I mean, that's pretty cool. And that was kind of exciting because I was kind of coming off last year like, man, where do we improve? But anywho, all right, we got to go Beefmaster it. So
Beefmaster in.
Stay tuned. I love
it. Let's do it.
Yummy.